Hello and welcome to episode 236 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva, and it is finally here. In just 9 days, we will have actual regular season NFL football. I am gaining momentum towards a full 3.9 inches. It is that exciting. Evan, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, we are recording this on cutdown day. Cam Newton news came in earlier. It's been pretty quiet since then, but I think the deadline is at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern time today. We'll probably miss a couple of important cuts, but we got a lot to talk about anyways.
Yeah, we have a ton to talk about, and a ton because there has not just been cuts, which I think has been small potatoes compared to some of the landscape-altering injuries, trades. We got another look at preseason usage in week three, just a ton to get to today. I know many of you are drafting tonight, tomorrow, in the next 7 days. Before we get to all that, wanted to let everyone know our in-season content schedule is live in the Our Team tab on the site. You can see there everything we have planned. We have a bunch of new additions, particularly on the DFS tournament side and particularly on props. I know a lot of you guys are into props. We are putting a major effort, not just me, but four or five guys on the props team in addition to me doing our best for props. If you are serious about playing season long, dabbling in DFS, looking to bet player props, we're working incredibly hard and I think smart to give you the best chance to win. Remember, if you have the draft kit only and you want to add the in-season product, email support at establishtherun.com and get the bundle. All right, Evan, we have been working diligently. You have been slaving over the top 150 and the tiers to keep up with all of the news, with what we think matters. Obviously, something that mattered was the J.K. Dobbins unfortunate injury. We've obviously been very vocal about being low on J.K. Dobbins. We never want to win a fade through injury. Hate to see it for J.K. Dobbins. I think what they're going to do now, and they have not added anyone yet, is insert Gus Edwards into the 1A role, maybe bump Tyson Williams into the 1B role, and have Justice Hill, who's been nursing an ankle injury, by the way, in some kind of pass-catching role. You now have Gus Edwards 51st overall, just behind DeAndre Swift, Mike Davis, James Robinson, but ahead of the Josh Jacobs, Trey Sermon types. Let's start with Gus before we get to the other guys. How do you think people should be handling Gus in drafts over the next week?
I mean, I think that he's got a chance to run for a lot of yards and potentially double-digit touchdowns. I think that his receiving outlook is just as limited as was J.K. Dobbins, if not even more limited. Probably worse. I think that if he gets to 20, 25 catches this year, I think that that would be nice. I think you take that. But I looked up at his rushing prop on DraftKings. It's over 1,000 yards. So I think that people are definitely on him. I bet that, you know, the day after, the day of that this news came out, he was probably going in the third round of a lot of drafts. I think that he belongs probably more in the fifth round because of those receiving limitations, but he plays on a team that is going to have a lot of leads. He plays in an excellent, like maybe the best rushing environment in the entire league. So I get people being a little bit bullish on him. I do think he's getting a little overdrafted, but I mean, I think he's got big time rushing potential. Like he could compete for the league lead in rushing. Like it's not crazy to think that he could do that. Actually, I looked at his odds there. He's already at 20-1 as of this morning. I'm not taking it, you know, but people are on him.
They very much like Gus Edwards. We saw that with how they handled him as an RFA, restricted free agent. We saw them handle that by giving him a $10 million contract. They like him a lot. I think people are overestimating the rushing share Gus Edwards will get, because if you give him 70 or 80% of the running back carries, that's a much different story than 55 or 60%. I lean more towards the lower end. I still think they're going to use a committee. Why don't you tell the people a little bit who Tyson Williams is? Because if you were playing preseason with us, he was very, very good and very, very impressive in the preseason for us. How much do you think he will play and what's the background on him?
It's really hard to say. The background on him is one of the most circuitous ways to get to the NFL that I've ever seen. If you just look at his college profile, he started at North Carolina. He ends up going to South Carolina, and then he ends up at BYU, which is like, I've never seen anything like that. He goes to BYU. He last four games, He's playing pretty well. He tears his ACL after four games. After the season, he rehabs. He must have rehabbed like a dog out there, man, because he held a personal pro day at 6'2", 220. He ran 4.48 with a 6.813 cone. That is sensational for anybody that weighs 220 pounds, let alone a guy coming off an ACL tear only 6 months removed. So, you know, guys like this go undrafted, and that's what happened to him. But the Ravens are a very analytical team, and I'm sure that he, like, you know, they just punch numbers, and there's like a big spreadsheet of athletic dudes that they want to bring in for their undrafted rookie tryouts. And, you know, he probably registered near the top of their running back list just from an athleticism standpoint. They take a chance on him and, you know, a no risk chance on him. And now here he's in position for a potentially prominent role. They say that they're not going to go pursue any other running backs at this time. They brought in Todd Gurley in June. They said they're not going to pursue him. So it does look like all of a sudden Tyson Williams has a chance at like a 20 or 30% carry share to begin the year. I don't know how it's going to go. It's just going to be based on performance, you know, and I think that Gus Edwards is securely the lead back, and they're going to have to do something about this passing game situation, because Tyson Williams, he only had 29 catches in his essentially 5-year college career. Yeah. So he's got, I think the most he ever had in one season was 12. So he does not have an extensive background as a pass catcher. And Justice Hill, it sounds like he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. I mean, he's been out 2-3 weeks already. He would be the passing game guy, I think, although I don't know if he could pass protect. He's a small guy. And I don't know. I think that they might look around for some passing game help. Justice Hill also plays on special teams, which will keep him on the roster.
Yeah, there's going to be some running back cuts here in the next few days. And no matter what the Ravens say, I think they'll be monitoring him. The thing that stuck out to me was Harbaugh said, you know, we are going to use three backs. And so in the past, they've used two backs. Other thing for me on Gus, last thing I'll say on it, I think Gus, people say, oh, well, J.K. Dobbins was going the third or fourth round. Why shouldn't Gus go there? Well, J.K. Dobbins is a far better talent than Gus Edwards. And I think J.K. Dobbins' pass catching ceiling was a little bit higher. You know, 40 catches would not have shocked me for J.K. Dobbins. It would absolutely shock me for Gus Edwards. Let's move on here to the other big news of the day. Cam Newton has been released by the New England Patriots. Mac Jones has been named the starter. I think if you watch Cam Newton play last year, it was somewhat easy to see this coming. I mean, dude, I absolutely love Cam Newton. Dude's shoulder and foot, I think, were much worse than he let on. Cam Newton leaves behind an incredible amount of goal line work. 19 carries from inside the 5-yard line Cam Newton had last year. That was fourth most in the entire NFL, behind only Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Kenyon Drake. So obviously Damian Harris, who we've talked about plenty, gets a big bump. Damian Harris still not going to play on pass downs. James White gets a big bump. These checkdowns from Mac Jones, I think, are going to go a ton to James White, who has held exclusive first team third down reps. What's your reaction to Mac Jones news? Have you made any moves on Patriots in your top 150?
I'm going to do the bulk of it tonight, but I already sort of in anticipation of this happening, made moves on a few guys, including James White last night. Also, Ramondre Stevenson is now a member of the top 150. Ramondre Stevenson was a beast this preseason. Mm-hmm. He can play in the passing game. I think that his presence in the backfield and how well he played this preseason, and the, you know, the movement out of New England of Sony Michel, that all bodes well for him. And quietly, you know, I think that these people that are going crazy about Damian Harris, and look, I understand being excited about him. I think they got a little bit more to be worried about than they think with Ramondre Stevenson, man. He can ball. And yeah, anybody, and if he just gets a shot behind this offensive line, it's an ass-kicking offensive line. Like, he is going to capitalize on it. And then some. James White is still there to, you know, take away pretty much all the receptions in the backfield. Damian Harris is going to have to score a lot of touchdowns. You know, he's one of these backs that's playing, going to play on early downs. And again, you know, what's the big difference between him and, you know, Gus Edwards? And, you know, he's in this sort of this camp, which really begins like an archetype that really begins with Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And just goes all the way down the fantasy rankings, like even into like the ninth and 10th round. And this guy, I mean, I don't know. I think that people are getting a little bit ahead of themselves on Damian Harris, because I think that this is at very least a two-man backfield and quite possibly a three-man backfield that involves Ramondre Stevenson.
You mentioned archetype. I mean, exactly. Damian Harris is not the type of archetype that I like to personally draft in fantasy, but man, Brandon Thorne, you check his offensive line rankings. Patriots check in at fourth. They signed the big two tight ends, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. It's obvious they're going to try to play this power football while everybody else in the NFL is trying to play this kind of spread pass game football. But yeah, I mean, I think Damian Harris's ADP is going to spike probably to a point where I won't want him. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly a strong play. I believe you have him 78th overall, just ahead of Sony Michel, who you mentioned, by the way, 79th overall. Oh, last thing I want to say on New England, you know, in these zero RB builds in full PPR, James White was just like a no-brainer in the 13th and 14th round. And I think that now people are going to see why James White can catch 50, 60, 70 balls, no problem. I want to bring up Sony Michel. Go ahead on James White, though, if you need to.
No, I was just going to say that Mac Jones showed a lot of advanced qualities during the preseason. First of all, I mean, he was so sharp and getting the ball out quickly. And going, I think the PFF had him with six big time throws, as they categorize them, and zero turnover worthy plays, which is impressive for a rookie in any setting. And they also, the Patriots showed a willingness to play with tempo when he was in the game. You know, when Cam Newton was in there last year, they played really slow, and you know they were very methodical, and you know they huddled up and. I think that they're going to be willing to play with tempo, and that's going to increase their play volume. It's good news for everybody, really. I think it's good news for Nelson Agholor. I think it has the potential to be good news for both of the tight ends and for Jakobi Meyers.
Yeah, I mean, first team all preseason was close. I gave it to Tyler Huntley at the quarterback position, but Mac Jones was absolutely awesome, and Ramondre Stevenson was no doubt first team all team preseason. We mentioned Sony Michel. Sony Michel is now a Ram. You have moved Daryl Henderson down to 65th overall in that range with Javonte Williams, Kareem Hunt, Myles Gaskin. I think it's tough to get a handle on exactly how the Rams are going to play it. My concern is that they use Sony Michel at the goal line, where I think kind of a lot of Daryl Henderson's value was tied up a bit on a team that is going to be very good and going to run the ball near the goal line. So I've gotten a bit cold feet on Daryl Henderson. I still see him go in the sixth or seventh round at times. I still think that's fair as the pass catching back, but he's now more of a kind of zero RB back than a foundational back. I was really loving getting him in the fourth round before the Sony Michel trade. I'm a little bit worried now. Sony Michel played pretty well last year despite all his knee issues. Where are you at with Daryl Henderson right now?
Yeah, I think that they should be valued pretty similarly at this point. I would rather have Daryl Henderson because I think he's got a higher upside in terms of his pass catching ability. But this was kind of the fear that I had right after the Cam Akers injury, that they would end up bringing another guy in and then Daryl Henderson would end up being like an RB2/flex that, you know, that you just kind of, you're rotating through each week thinking, yeah, should I play him? You know, sort of like maybe even like a rich man's Devin Singletary almost. But then, you know, things happen. I mean, you know, other guys got hurt in the, they lost Raymond Calais to the broken foot. The finger injury in practice for Daryl Henderson, and it just kind of set off alarm bells, I think, with the Rams, and they wound up trading a decent amount. If you read Jordan Rodriguez's report, the Rams beat writer from The Athletic, they could essentially get a fourth round pick for Sony Michel, which is a lot to give up for a running back at this stage of the process. So they you know, prioritize Sony Michel, and you're right. I mean, he's got a chance to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And you do have Sony Michel, 79th overall, right next to Damian Harris at 78th overall. Injury that I think was a bit tough to swallow for us was Irv Smith getting this meniscus surgery so close this season. He had great usage in the preseason. I know Tyler Conklin hadn't played yet, but Irv Smith had really good usage in the preseason. I thought he was a steal when we were getting him in like the 12th, 13th, 14th round. Now, not only was his ADP rising, but also now, I think he's a tough hold in regular formats, right? Like, how can you really hold a bench spot with a guy coming off meniscus injury at the tight end position, and he's not even like an elite tight end. So now I'm having a hard time even drafting Irv Smith in like a home league or something like that, because my God, do I really want to hold a roster spot in week 1, 2, 3, 4? And I think Irv Smith might not be back until October. I don't even know if I can hold a roster spot for him. So what do you think about Irv Smith's injury? Do you have any interest in Tyler Conklin, or how do you think the Vikings are going to play it?
Tyler Conklin, like him in like, you know, super deep tight end premium leagues, you know, where you got 10 bench spots. Mm-hmm. I think that you can take him real late there, but no, it sucks. I mean, I think that Irv Smith is my highest drafted tight end, my most often drafted tight end so far this year. So it definitely hurts. Hopefully he'll be back by like week 3, but it sounds more likely week 4, week 5. And it's really tough to hold a non-difference maker. You know, in all likelihood, he's not going to be a difference maker. Even if he was healthy, I think we were just hoping for, you know, maybe top 7, top 8 tight end stats. Would have mm-hmm. been really happy with that. I've got him down to tight end 13, like right next to Evan Ingram, who also is dealing with. It's just like the thinness of the tight end position is disgusting at this point. I mean, it's just if you're drafting, man, like. If you're still drafting, like I would prioritize a top 7 or 8 tight end, absolutely, because the cliff drop, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
It's really bad. Yeah, and I really did like getting Irv late. It is tough to see. I'm going to think more about Tyler Conklin, because it's going to be a DFS question on Tyler Conklin, because he's obviously going to be stone minimum salary in week 1, but I think we'll have more on that. By the way, our first run of DFS projections in the in-season package coming soon. We'll be up by Wednesday night if you check that Wednesday night ahead of week 1. If you check the in-season package, we're already putting a lot of time into that. T.Y. Hilton, man. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton was already not looking good in the age model. I mean, these speed receivers, when they lose their speed and they get older, it gets really rough. Now he has a disc issue. And, man, that's really, really scary. Colts mm-hmm. say he's out indefinitely. I could see T.Y. Hilton missing the whole season. They say it's not a season ender. But, man, these disc things are really, really complicated. They will almost certainly go now with Michael Pittman and Zach Pascal on the outside, Paris Campbell on the inside. Paris Campbell, a lot of injury history himself. You now have Michael Pittman all the way up to 81st overall, right in that Corey Davis, right behind Corey Davis, right behind Juju Smith-Schuster. I've been drafting a lot of Michael Pittman around 10 or 11. He's going to start going much, much higher now. What do you think about the fallout from T.Y. Hilton's injury?
This Colts. I mean, every year there's like a team or two. It's usually the Eagles that just like suffers a ton of injuries in training camp, and they just start limping into the season, and it feels like their season is already over. And that's the Colts this year. I mean, from Carson Wentz to Quentin Nelson to, you know, just almost every position group on their offensive line. Eric Fisher, we already knew that he was probably not going to play early in the season. His backup, Sam Tevy, tears his ACL. You know, Ryan Kelly is even their centers now on the COVID list. Like, it's been an absolute nightmare training camp for Indianapolis. I bumped up Michael Pittman a little bit. Paris Campbell is now, I think, like in the 120s or 130s. And I think that this team is going to struggle this season, especially early in the year, considering their schedule and all the compound nature of these injuries. But yeah, I mean, that's where I stand with them from a fan. I'm not super excited about either one, but I could see Pittman taking a big second year leap, though. I mean, that's definitely in his range of potential outcomes. And I think that Paris Campbell is very draftable.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, for the guys that have been following along on props, you know, like you start to see how the unders with all these injuries, you start to see how like taking 90-95% of unders can be so profitable. Not that we're rooting for injury, but it's hard for the books in these season long props to account for the chaos, for the injuries, for the roster moves, et cetera, et cetera. One of them, you brought up Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram hurt his calf too. You know, I talked to Jordan Ronan. He doesn't know exactly. It looks like he's still getting evaluated, but it doesn't seem too serious. But man, they have Evan Ingram now questionable for week 1. Kenny Golladay is questionable for week 1. Kyle Rudolph is questionable for week 1. I think Barkley will probably be fine, but we'll see. Darius Slayton hurt his foot/ankle in the 3rd preseason game. That sounds minor, but man, they're limping into this week 1 game against Denver. I don't think we have any real takeaways here. I know you've been way lower than market on Kenny Golladay for a while now. Same with Saquon. So it's going to be a tough spot for them against Denver in week 1. I don't think there's too much to say there, but any comments on the Giants?
No. Do you know what the spread is on that, on the Denver Giants game?
Offhand? I haven't looked, but
I know it was really close like a month ago.
Yeah. I haven't looked, but that gives us a chance to note that Evan and I mm-hmm. are starting a betting show. This is not going to be behind the paywall. We're not going to be selling picks. This is just going to be us on YouTube messing around, talking about games and totals and lines that we like. Obviously, we are far from professional sports bettors, but the people have demanded it so much and we'll have fun with it. So stay tuned for that. First one coming Thursday before week one on YouTube.
Yeah, it's still only a 3-point spread on Broncos Giants. I mean, yeah. I think the Broncos are way better than the Giants.
For sure. All right. Gio Bernard, getting into some usage here from the preseason. Every single third down snap with Tom Brady this preseason, Gio Bernard has been in for. And I don't think, you know, that's whatever for Gio. I don't think Gio's in your top 150. But man, it's just tough for Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette to get there when they're going to get zero pass down snaps. When Tom Brady's checking down so much. Now, they could still catch balls because Tom Brady checks down on first and second down too. But it's hard to find a ceiling for me on Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Not only will they split, and Ronald Jones started that game, by the way. Leonard Fournette came in after. I think they'll split early down work. Gio's going to be in there. I don't know. I know you've been lower than market on Ronald Jones. I'm glad I don't have much Ronald Jones either at this point. They're going to need injuries to pay it off is the bottom line, I think.
Right. Yeah. And even in those instances, if one guy gets hurt, like it's still going to be a two-man backfield.
Yeah.
So, somebody asked in the Discord, why is Giovanni Bernard not in the top 150? I was like, you know, he's on the fringe. I almost put him in last night, but then I was like, cause I was trying to backfill the 150 with just pulling out guys that I really don't want, you know, wide receiver sevens or wide receiver sixes or whatever. And, you know, tight ends and quarterbacks, you know, I pulled out Baker Mayfield, for instance, and I was trying to backfill the 150 with intriguing running backs. And, you know, I would rather have like Ty Johnson than Giovanni Bernard right now. I'd rather have J.D. McKissic than Giovanni Bernard right now. I'd rather have Ramondre Stevenson, the upside of Ramondre Stevenson, of course, Tyson Williams. So that's just kind of where I stand with Giovanni Bernard. He's an old passing game specialist. He's probably going to be better in that role, almost certainly, than was LeSean McCoy last year, but not going to be a guy that, you know, you want to be starting.
A surprise cut was Breshad Perriman. And, you know, I got this one wrong. I thought Breshad Perriman was really likely to lead the Lions wide receivers in targets and be third on the team in targets beyond Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. But not only did they guarantee Breshad Perriman $2 million, and then he couldn't beat out Khalif Raymond and Quintez Cephas. I mean, it's crazy. And like Tom Kennedy, like I can't believe that Breshad Perriman was that bad. But man, that's what I get for trying to be a talent evaluator. Looks like now they will start Khalif Raymond and Tyrell Williams on the outside, Cephas and St. Brown. St. Brown likely in the slot. You do have Tyrell Williams in the top 150 at 140 overall in kind of that flyer range. But man, I was surprised by Breshad Perriman's getting cut. What did you think about it? And do you have any interest in any of these other guys? Obviously, Tyrell is in the 150. Maybe people are excited about St. Brown, but he's only going to play in three wide receiver sets. I'm not sure how many of those sets we're going to see.
The writing on the wall was just, it started to get there for Breshad Perriman. He was hurt a lot. You know, that's been a problem throughout his career. When he was in there, he's probably dropping passes. And, you know, this old school coaching staff isn't going to put up with a bunch of errors, especially for a guy who's, you know, in the tub. And so he didn't make the club because he spent so much time in the tub. This is the worst wide receiver core I've ever seen. They just traded for Trinity Benson, I believe, of Denver. Yeah. They're grasping at straws at the wide receiver position. And it continues to point toward an offense that should circulate around TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift whenever he gets healthy. Although, you know, the coaching staff hasn't shown a lot of love for DeAndre Swift. I mean, he's been hurt. He's another guy who's been hurt for almost the duration of training camp. I think that they come out. It wouldn't surprise me if Jamal Williams leads him in touches in week one.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I still think long-term DeAndre Swift, it will be fine. You can get him in like round four, round five, sometimes even in full PPR. That's okay with me, but not before that on DeAndre Swift. Trey Lance got a chip in his finger. I don't think it's a big deal. He's only going to miss a couple practices, but it's looking more and more like they'll at best go in the rotation in week one, and at worst, it'll be all Jimmy Garoppolo. The flippening has happened. You now have Justin Fields ahead of Trey Lance. And this is something we talked about last week where Fields looks like more likely to run this year than Trey Lance does. And also maybe you could argue now Justin Fields also more likely to get under center before Trey Lance does. Big flippening though. A lot of people did not see this coming. I mean, there was a time in ADP not that long ago. These guys were like 30 or 40 spots apart. Talk to the people about Fields over Lance.
Yeah, so this injury doesn't sound too serious. Probably just going to cost him like a week or maybe 10 days. But it does, obviously, I mean, it locks in Jimmy Garoppolo as the week one starter, I think. And then I think that they're going to use Trey Lance in a package situation probably early in the year. And that's going to be frustrating. And, you know, we're going to be talking about it every week. You know, we're going to talk about it every week. Like, you think Trey Lance is going to start this week? You know, is this time coming? And if they start piling up wins, again, the soft schedule doesn't work to the benefit of Trey Lance. It works to the benefit of Jimmy Garoppolo, because if they're piling up wins, they're probably just going to stick with what they've been doing because it's been successful. So that's the concern that we're facing now with Trey Lance. And then with Justin Fields, I just, you look at the early part of the schedule, you know, it's going to be Andy Dalton in week one at the Rams, but then a really good opportunity for the Bears to move toward Justin Fields, especially if Andy Dalton stinks it up in week one, which he probably will. The Bears go back home against the Bengals. They could start Justin Fields there. Say for some reason, you know, the Bears want to continue to stick with Andy Dalton into game three, which is at the Browns, which that's not going to be, that's not going to be nice, especially for this behind this offensive line, which has been a swinging gate during the preseason. They're so desperate for a left tackle that they signed Jason Peters. I mean, who, like, I feel like he's retired multiple times. He's like, he's older than me. And then, so that's going to be nasty at Cleveland. And then week four, they come back against the Lions, and that would be another opportunity. It would shock me if they get past week four without inserting Justin Fields. And, you know, there's a good argument even before this this chip on the finger of Trey Lance that Justin Fields should have been ahead of him. And we started to talk about that even before the injury happened.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think Kyle Shanahan is going to rule out some type of rotation, in-game rotation between the two. Like, that would not shock me at all. And that's going to be something we have to decide when we build in weekly projections. Speaking of the 49ers, so we finally got a look at Raheem Mostert in the preseason finale. Raheem Mostert started and got the first 10 snaps. They took him out. Then Trey Sermon was in for the next 14 snaps. You know, I think it sounds like you've gotten warmer on Raheem Mostert as it's gone along. I was probably too low on Raheem Mostert to start. You still have Trey Sermon slightly ahead of Raheem Mostert in the top 150. How are you thinking about those guys now heading into drafts?
And Sermon is ahead of Raheem Mostert because I just think he's got a higher touch ceiling. Like, they could get to a point where they're willing to give him 17 to 20 touches per game. I think they've learned their lesson that Raheem Mostert can hold up under those conditions, but he can be really, really good as long as they keep a cap on his touches. I mean, I've liked these guys all along. I mean, I think that their rushing offense is so good that they could both finish as top 15 fantasy backs. So, I mean, I'm even willing to draft them on the same team. I know that that's often frowned upon, but in a situation like this where they could have 500 rushing attempts, you know, when Trey Lance gets in there, like, all of a sudden gaps are going to open. The seas are going to part, and these guys are going to rip off big runs. And I think that Raheem Mostert is going to be the lightning to the thunder of Trey Sermon.
Speaking of preseason usage and running backs, we got the first look at the Jaguars backfield without Travis Etienne in week three. James Robinson started and got the first 10 snaps. Then Carlos Hyde comes in and gets seven snaps. You have James Robinson 47th overall. I talked about this on the Monday pod a little bit. You know, I like James Robinson. He's clearly better in the pass game than Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde is very clearly Urban Meyer and Daryl Bevel's boy. Like, you know, very, very, very clearly. But James Robinson, you know, I thought he was good last year. Not great. There was so much of his value was just raw volume. And he was getting 100% of the running back touches in a lot of games for the Jaguars. That's just not going to happen this year, period. But you can still get him probably in the third or fourth round. You have him 47th. Overall right now. So what do you think about James Robinson in the wake of this Travis Etienne injury and how it settled after the preseason game?
Yeah, 47th overall is like a fringe fourth, fifth round pick. I've got him in there like with Mike Davis and Gus Edwards. And I think that that's pretty much where he belongs. He has more receiving upside than Gus Edwards, albeit in a worse situation. And then I think Mike Davis's situation is better. And Mike Davis has more receiving upside than does James Robinson and certainly Gus Edwards. So, you know, this is kind of like the little tier that these guys are in. And I think that I like where I have him. I think that they, you know, I think that Gus Edwards, who's at the bottom of that list from me, that three man list, is going to go the earliest in drafts and probably is probably the most overvalued.
It's just structurally for me, I don't often take running back there in that spot. You know, I'm typically taking wide receiver, or I'm taking Kyle Pitts, or I'm taking, you know, a quarterback or something. You know, like I'm so rarely taking running back there. So just is what it is. I don't know if anybody cares about the Texans wide receivers, but for what it's worth, Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins look like they'll be the every down in two wide receiver sets. But man, they played their starters in that third preseason game. And I mean, it was ugly, man. I think you do have Nico Collins in the top 150 as Mr. Irrelevant now, 150th overall. Brandon Cooks up at 71st overall. I'm even scared about Brandon Cooks, man. Like, I'm worried this offense is just going to be so bad. So, but people probably don't know a lot about Nico Collins, and I think he's maybe an interesting flyer. At least the opportunity cost on Nico Collins is like totally free. Where are you at with the Texans wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, with Brandon Cooks, you're going to have to live with some bad games in all likelihood. I mean, I do think he's going to be able to produce some spikes. He's got big playability. They're going to have to throw the ball to stay competitive. The thing you worry about is like them averaging like 14 points per game. You know, even if that, like they are so, I mean, there is a, you know, there are 31 teams and there's a gap and then there's the Texans. I mean, it's that bad. You know, I think that even the Lions are considerably more talented than are the Texans. Nico Collins, interesting. I mean, he's another absolute freak from an athleticism and size standpoint, you know, stylistic. He's big, stylistically complements Brandon Cooks real well. But yeah, I mean, you know, getting them the ball is going to be, it's going to be a challenge, I think, week in and week out. I did put Nico Collins, he's smack dab at 150 overall in the top 150.
Speaking of wide receivers and flyers, this guy's not even a flyer anymore, but Marquez Callaway is screaming up in ADP. And, you know, there's a wide range of opinions on Marquez Callaway, I think, because there's a wide range of outcomes. You can go back and listen to the Monday pod. I tried to outline the bull and the bear case on Marquez Callaway. You have him wide receiver 50, 110th in the rankings. I'm not sure that he gets to you at 110th, though. I mean, people are really excited about Marquez Callaway after he blew up the preseason, after Jameis won the job, after this Michael Thomas thing. Who knows when he'll be back now? They're saying they're optimistic he'll be back week 7. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to think about Marquez Callaway. The range of outcomes is so wide. Have you been trying to get him, or what do you think about him?
I mean, you know, I liked him early in the process, and now I just think that, you know, every time I'm in a draft, he goes 3 rounds ahead of where I'd probably take him. I've been on him. You know, he's like, he's a good athlete. He's not like super fast, but all his other athletic measurables are strong. He's got some size. He's 6'1", 205 in college at Tennessee. He returned 3 punts for touchdowns. That's a really good indicator, as we've talked about, like dudes that just show that they can excel with the ball in their hands. He led the SEC in yards per reception his final year at Tennessee. Then he goes undrafted. It's like, why did he go undrafted? But he did pop a little bit in a limited sample. He earned as an undrafted. First of all, he earned a spot as an undrafted free agent in the pandemic year, which in and of itself is really, really impressive. And then he went on to make 3 starts. And then in their playoff games, he played about 30% of the offensive snaps. I mean, that's an accomplishment considering, you know, how little practice time there was and how far he had to climb up the depth chart just to get there. And now he's in the driver's seat for the number one spot. I still think that this quarterback situation is going to be a rotation. They're going to play both of them. It's going to be really frustrating, but he's shown preseason chemistry with Jameis Winston. I get it. Like, I was talking to Dwayne McFarland the other day about him, and Dwayne McFarland, super sharp. He plays in high stakes leagues. He's like, talk me out of him. I want to take him in the 7th, 8th round every time. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to talk you out of him. I don't have him ranked that high, but, you know, I think you can go with it. Like, we're talking about the middle to late rounds, and you can get bullish on guys there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I still prefer the guys like Corey Davis in that range over Marquez Callaway, but I definitely don't have anything bad to say about Marquez Callaway either. Speaking of the Saints, you dropped Latavius Murray out of your top 150. Now, the Saints did cut Devontae Freeman, which was kind of as expected. This is kind of what I expected the whole time, is that Devontae Freeman would get cut. Latavius and Tony Jones would continue their battle behind Alvin Kamara through the regular season, and it'll kind of be who they feel like has the hot hand, who they think is better. But it's really tough to draft either one of Latavius or Tony Jones right now. Do you have any feeling there? Are you drafting either one, Latavius or Tony Jones?
No. I mean, yeah. No, just Tony Jones is like a battering ram. And Latavius Murray, I mean, it's possible that he's lost a step. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30, I believe, at this point.
Oh, yeah, 31,
yeah. Yeah,
yep.
So it's possible that he just showed up to camp and he looked slower. And that's why there were rumors about him getting cut. He's sticking for now, but, you know, potentially as the number three.
Yep. A couple of small things here. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is into your top 150 at wide receiver 62. You know, only 4 targets per game last year, and his catch rate is so low because his ADOT is so far. I mean, he just runs down the field and he hopes to catch a ball. But man, it's hard for me to give him more than 3 to 5 targets per game for MVS. Still, I get trying to take flyers. What do you think about him? Why move him into the top 150?
He's a spiked week guy. You know, he's going to probably have 3 or 4 good games this year. Apparently he's been having a great camp. So, and it's his contract year. And I mean, we know that he has this unique skill set, you know, where Alan Lazard is like a big possession receiver. Devontae Adams, you know, he can kind of do everything. You know, Randall Cobb as the slot, Amari Rodgers as the red shirt slot. There's not another guy in the receiving core that can do what Marquez Valdes-Scantling can do. And therefore, I think that he has like job security. You know, week in, week out, he's going to be playing a significant number of snaps because he can take the top off the defense, and they don't really have any other guys that do that.
Last thing to touch on here, last one, is this Bills stuff. You moved Zach Moss down. He was your RB34. You moved him down to RB43, now 128th overall is Zach Moss. I mean, the Bills are like, even in the preseason, it's like Josh Allen doesn't have to play in the preseason, let alone throw the ball on 17 out of their first 18 plays. I mean, it's so obvious they're going to be among the league leaders in pass rate over expectation. And Zach Moss is going to be sharing with Devin Singletary. So like running back touches are going to be low and they're sharing. You move Zach Moss down. It's fine. It's hard to find a real bull case for either one. It's just, it's almost mind bending because running backs in such a good offense is typically, and the late rounds is typically like where we want to be. But this is tough on Moss and Singletary. Where are you at with them right now?
Yeah, the Bills last year led the NFL in situation neutral pass rate. And like, apparently Brian Daboll is saying that they want to throw the ball more. So that's good news for, you know, Emmanuel Sanders as a late pick. Cole Beasley, in theory, at least on paper, it looks good. And certainly Stephon Diggs to be a consensus first round pick. You know, and even Gabe Davis, if one of the guys goes down, like Gabe Davis is probably a fantasy starter if one of the guys goes down.
Steph Diggs didn't play in their preseason finale. I mean, and yeah. Gabe Davis was up against backups. Gabe Davis like shredded. Like they had no chance against Gabe Davis in that preseason finale, but is what it is. All right. We've said a lot here. We've said it all. We didn't even say it all, though, because constantly there is more news, more injuries, more trades, more cuts. Evan will be continuing to update his top 150 with all the news. Be sure you check into the change log to see when and why he's making the moves. All of our rankings are updating constantly because I know you guys have drafts pretty much every night for the next 7 days. Highly encourage you, if you have not yet, to pick up the in-season package. We're expanding our props. We're expanding tournament coverage for DFS, and we will have all the usual things that you are used to as part of our in-season package. Again, upgrading from draft kit to bundle. Email support at establishedrun.com. For producer Luke, for Evan, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.